Well, yesterday, of course, was New Year's Day. Happy New Year. It was also the eighth day after Jesus' birth. Now, on the eighth day, Jesus was circumcised. He was offered to God. Verse 21 of today's Holy Gospel says this: on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Now, by Jewish law, on the eighth day, something special happened. For the day of circumcision was also the day when a male child was officially named. The gospel teaches us about these two people who testify to what God was doing through this very child. Their names were Simeon and Anna. They were older people with a full resume of life experiences. Anna and Simeon's prophecies share a note of hope, filled with absolute expectation that in this child, God's promise was coming to fruition. Here, two old and very wise prophets of Jewish holiness spoke for the nation of Israel, but also for all humanity. As Simeon's prophecy mentions, Jesus' relationship would not be just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. However, with all the good news, there was also a hint that not all was going to go well. Simeon warns Mary that she will experience the pain of seeing her son rejected by a divided Israel. Now, this ceremony and circumcision of a young Hebrew child always took place 8 days after the birth. Mary and Joseph, of course, were devout Jews who, as we learned, took their son to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old for his bar mitzvah. And that's when, you know, the story of Jesus teaching in the temple because they headed home and didn't realize that he wasn't with them. You know, often say, how could parents go? But see, it was a family gathering, and they probably thought he was with other parts of the family. So, they observed the letter of the Jewish law. They would obediently, on that eighth day, name the boy Jesus, as they were told by the angel Gabriel. In obedience to the law, they brought a thank offering of a pair of doves and two young pigeons. God was never without a witness, even amongst all the corruption of the temple. You only have to look at Simeon and Anna, whose eyes, ears, and hearts were open toward God. Apparently, Simeon was not a great preacher or an inspired singer, and God likes to use people in the raw, unpolished, and all they have to do is be passionate. Simeon was probably a man who took to the background, not seeking the spotlight. He was an unknown man who lived somewhere in the city of Jerusalem. It was apparent that he had a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. As the gospel says, the Holy Spirit was upon him in verse 25 of the second chapter of Luke. Simeon recognized that Israel was in great danger. He knew that in his lifetime, he would see the Messiah, the Anointed One. And as the gospel says in verse 26, it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. As I have taught many times, the word Christ is Christos in Greek, which means Anointed One or Messiah. But he knew in his spirit that the Messiah would be made known to him. As a matter of fact, he probably never even worried about it. He just trusted in the Lord. He was just in time to be in time. I believe that his song is absolutely beyond description. If you pray the morning prayer in our prayer book, the song of Simeon is right there, taken right out of Luke's gospel. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant and priest, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what he was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That's Luke 28 through 35. Now, can you imagine how surprised Mary and Joseph were? They were probably very surprised that a stranger would be so familiar with and involved in their son. We know that the shepherds knew of Jesus' presence, and they knew that the angels had told them. I preached that on Christmas Eve, that the angels not only told them that a child had been born, but this baby was wrapped in cloths, the same cloths that all of the sacrificial lambs were wrapped in and placed in the stone manger, the same one that those sacrificial lambs were placed in. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. How could this man have known? Well, such great detail was, of course, given to him by one source, and that was the Holy Spirit. The Messiah, whom Mary and Joseph knew was their son, would bring blessing to the Jews. But this stranger, a man in a temple, spoke of a light of revelation to the Gentiles. This was a whole new idea. When Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah 61 at the synagogue in Nazareth, he was referring also to Isaiah 49. See, Isaiah spoke quite a bit about being a light to the Gentiles for the whole world. Both Joseph and Mary must have been surprised by Simeon's message. Could it be that Simeon was familiar with Isaiah 8:14, which said, "Then he shall become a sanctuary, but to both houses of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Could he have known that all of Isaiah pointed to their son, Jesus? He spoke of the fall and rise of many. Was this the death and rebirth of many in Jesus Christ and their resurrection in him on the final day? This man was speaking quite a bit of heavy stuff to them. As Simeon had foretold, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This baby was only 8 days old, and she was being told that something was coming. Mary, the mother of Jesus, would stand at the foot of the cross and see her tortured son die. Anna, an elderly lady from the tribe of Asher, who was certainly one of the most virtuous women in all of Israel, and Luke spells out that she had been married 7 years when her husband died, and after that, she was given a room in the temple in which to live, set apart for her. If she married at the age of 15, which was pretty usual, and after being married for 7 years, she was then a widow for 84 years. Yeah, pretty amazing. Then her age at the time of Christ coming to the temple would have been 106. This goes right along with the scriptural statement. She was very old. Hey, the scripture always gets it right. When Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to the temple, I just think it's wonderful that God used a man and a woman to really announce the greatness of this event. I believe we need to recognize how very important it is to be proclaiming Christ for every Christian. I also think it's important to remember that in the first century, the testimony of a woman was seen as, pardon the expression, insignificant. I'm not happy about that, but that's the way it was. But I also want to suggest to you how important it is in God's plan for the first people to learn that Jesus had risen from the dead was women. The importance of women is really tremendous. And God uses and respects women. He doesn't hold them in contempt, but instead he raises them up. In first century Jerusalem, women were expected to learn, to just learn and be in silence. Aren't we glad how times have changed? The Bible tells us that after the time of Jesus' circumcision, Mary and Joseph then returned to Bethlehem. Uncertainty laid ahead of them as they would be visited by Magi from the east, and then Herod would plot to kill all male children 2 years of age and under. Joseph would then once again be visited by an angel who warned him, and they would flee to Egypt. When Herod died, the angel again appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt with the message recorded in Matthew 2:20. Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the man's life are dead. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy guided Mary and Joseph in the life of their blessed son, Jesus. That day in the temple, Mary and Joseph would officially name their son, Jesus, as the angel had told them. That very special and powerful name, as we see later on in scriptures. Just want to share with you a few notations in scriptures that talk about his name. In Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The apostles cried out to God in prayer after being released by the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, verse 30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And Peter and John were on their way to the temple when they saw a beggar who was crippled in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. And then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The people who witnessed the amazing miracle were astonished. So Peter told them in Acts 3:16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete and healing to this man, as you all can see. The temple leaders told the apostles that they were forbidden to use that name. And here we are today because they didn't obey that order. They continued to preach and to heal and to tell people about Jesus. You can see that the obedience that takes place in the heart of the believer. And we see that with each and every one of us. We can see the obedience of Mary and Joseph as they did just as God had asked them to do, naming and presenting Jesus at the temple, listening to the prophecies of angels and Anna and Simeon, and suppressing him from all harm. God walked with them and guided them. That in verse 4 of today's Holy Gospel tells us, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We pray that he will guide us, each one of us, and fill us with wisdom as well, for others to follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.